Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
If you would open up your bulletins, you'll find a copy of this morning's sermon notes that we're going to be using. We're going to talk about today. We're going to be celebrating our children's ministry. And for the last couple of weeks, or last week, we had our suit of armor up here, and we wanted to talk about the direction of our children's ministry, why it is so vital for all of us to be involved and to understand the role of children and youth ministries in our health, the health of our church, and who we are going to be. And so our children's ministry is really about raising healthy children. Raising healthy children. And sometimes when we think about that, we think about healthy children, oftentimes we just think about the body. We think about perhaps sports, and we think about eating well and having a good, stable home, a good environment. But there is so much more involved in raising healthy children. Children that feel confident about themselves, are able to interact well with other people, respectfully, joyfully, embracing all that they have. There's so much more involved. And when we talk about raising healthy children, especially in our environment today, it takes all of us. There are so many forces that are acting on children today, that it takes all of us, so that when the children come into the sanctuary, when they actually do make it to church, that when you see them, you just interact with them as a church, that you come together and say, I'm glad that you're here. It's so great to see you. And we're going to talk about how we as a community can rally around our kids so that this is a place where they are constantly bolstered. That no matter what's happening in school or what's happening in sports or what's happening with their peer group, they are loved and affirmed here. And this is the place that wells up within them. So as we come together, we want to celebrate. And I use this image today, and this image just really caught me, because you get this sense of this little baby, the whole future lies before it. And you get this sense of this little baby just so excited about something, maybe a parent, maybe a toy, but there's this sense of energy, this sense of excitement about the future. You don't get any image of fear or anxiety, but you know as well as I do that as we grow, those fears and those anxieties seem to pile on us. And it's our job, it's our calling and our covenant together that we rally around and help this little child and all of the children that come to us find their full potential, find out what God can do in their life, to not get drawn away. I don't know if you saw this week, throw this in, I don't know if you saw, they're coming out with a new iPhone, a gold iPhone, so that it'll stand out, so that when you have a gold iPhone, people will just know who you are. And I think about that, and I'm going, these are the things that people are choosing between your character and your possessions. And I saw this image and say, it's our role to focus on the spiritual aspects of life. And so we're going to talk about what God expects of us and what we have to offer for our children and our youth. So as we gather together, we're going to open up the scriptures, because the scriptures talk about our role as mentors and guides for our children. Would you join with me as we center our lives on God's Word? This is God's Word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Now, if you want to talk about the importance of children, I want to ask a question as we read this passage from Luke 18. Can we truly be a church without the presence of children? In Luke 18, beginning with the verse 15, people were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him, and he said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. For truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you as children. You are our Father, and we are your family. And as we gather, we think about the future of our children, those precious gifts that you've given to us to raise and to nurture and to mentor. And sometimes we struggle to know if we're doing the right thing. We pray, oh God, that in our time together that you would continue to speak to us, awaken us, and also comfort us in the challenge of raising healthy children. In Jesus' name, amen. As we get into the future of children's ministry, I want to say, why is this important to us? For you sitting out there, for you adults that maybe your children are grown or you don't have children yet or whatever the situation is, why is this important to you? Because Jesus at the very end of this passage says the kingdom of God belongs to such as these, but then he really says to us, if you, the disciples, for you adults as you're listening there, if you will not accept as a little child, you're not going to enter it. It isn't just for these wee ones, it's for you adults. You have something that you have to learn from them. There's something about them that engaging it with them that informs us. And if you've ever gotten to the point where you believe, as part of church life, that children should be seen and not heard, then I wonder if that is the kingdom that you're destined for. In the kingdom of God, you will be seen, but you will never be heard. Is that how you would like it to turn out for you? You see, when we engage with the little ones, there's something that Jesus says you have to learn from them. And I want to talk about that just briefly before we jump into the future. And the three things that we need to learn why children matter are, number one, the power of faith. The power of faith. As we take these children and we share our faith, as we share our fellowship together, it nurtures them, it guides them, it forms them, and it shapes their character. And we're able to see firsthand as they grow in a healthy church environment, a community that is surrounded by grace and forgiveness and love, we're able to see firsthand what faith can really do. Sometimes when we talk about faith, we just use it as a word that it kind of passes by, and we throw it around, we live by faith, and we should have faith and all these things. But whenever we talk with the children, we get to see how it shapes their life. There's a power in this community, in this covenant, that binds us together. We also get to see the spirit of growing. The spirit of growing. Of children that are so excited to learn new things, to venture out, to try new experiences, to actually go as far as coloring outside the lines from time to time. And we get to see how excited that they are to try new things. It's interesting to me that as we grow older, we're more and more afraid of looking foolish. We don't want to try. We don't really want to sing. We don't really want to play an instrument. We don't really want to get up and speak because somebody might laugh at us. They might think of us foolishly, or our status and our priorities may drop a little bit. But when we get engaged in children, they don't have that fear. They don't mind getting up and dancing wildly. And we get to see they have a spirit about them that is joyful, that is excited, and we need to recapture that. And finally, it tells us the truth about us. Before God, we are children. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care how high your status or your prestige you think it is. Before the Almighty God, you are an infant. You are a child. We need to receive it that way, to recognize that we're not all that we think that we are. And so when we engage in our children, when we offer them our very best, we are learning something. Teachers are blessed when they involve themselves in the life of the children. And I want to encourage all of you, if you haven't already, get that opportunity to share your faith with the children. But we have to have something that engages the minds and the hearts and the minds with the children. And I wanted to begin sharing with you something about where our future is, especially with children's ministry. We began to talk with Kiana and with Tammy over the summer about, you know, the struggles with parents that parents are having with children, and especially raising them up in this environment. And we said, how are we going to shape this image? And what kind of image can I give you, or metaphor, are we going to talk about raising healthy children? And we came up with this idea of using a knight's quest. If you go to the next slide. Children are in the process of becoming. They're becoming, they're growing, just like all of us. But we love this imagery of, you know, the kind of the chivalry of growing through a knight, and knights grow by having certain values, certain attributes, certain attitudes, a sense of can do, a sense of quest, a sense of purpose and mission. And I wonder that it sometimes, as children grow into youth and in teens, and they kind of go through that adolescent phase, that crazy, crazy high school age, that some of that passion gets taken away from them. But we need to feed into that. We need to feed them back up again and face the reality of what they are facing. And part of what was driven by this is a quote that came out by G.K. Chesterton. He said, "The more truly we can see life as a fairy tale, the more clearly the tale resolves itself into a war with the dragon who is wasting fairyland." See, this is the part that I think we have been missing. And I think this is a huge tragedy for any of you that have little children. And the reality is that as the children grow, as they are in, even in your household, and they're protected, you have stable home life, they have enough to eat and a warm bed, they have all of the toys that they could ever possibly want, there is still a reality that we're not addressing. And that is that there is a dragon that is waiting for them. There's a dragon that is waiting for them. By the time they hit those teen years, that dragon is going to face them square on and ask them one simple question: who are you? It was Carl Jung, the Swiss psychologist, that came out with that famous quote, "The world is going to ask you just once who you are. And if you don't know, it will tell you." And you know this, that as your kids continue to grow and they reach those adolescent years, all of a sudden they're listening to other voices. Maybe it's the TV, maybe it's the magazines as you're at the checkout counter, maybe it's the American Eagle commercials on TV of what you ought to be looking like, but there is a dragon out there that is waiting for them. So the number one truth that we came to as part of children's ministry is that there is a dragon, and the dragon is real. Until you recognize that there is a force that is waiting for those children to arrive and say, this is who you are and this is who you're going to be, all of what we do becomes kind of irrelevant. You think you can handle it on your own, but there is a dragon that is waiting for them. And the reality is that the dragon is going to prey on our fears, on all of our doubts and our fears. When you arrive, when your little ones arrive, that happy child, when it finally reaches those teen years, all of those fears about who I am and whether I really measure up and whether I'm really good enough, whether anybody really loves me, is just what the dragon is looking for, your vulnerability. And as soon as you're vulnerable, it works in and it begins to tell you things like, you really don't matter. Nobody really loves you. And you find that the children begin to fade away. And they begin to be absorbed by what? Technology, fashion, sports, whatever it is, because the dragon plays on our fears. It searches out for our identity. It looks for our confusions and our values. And it tries to prey on all of those weaknesses. If we don't give that to the next generation, it isn't just that what will happen to the church, it's what's going to happen to those innocent lives. The confusion, the relationships that are broken, there's a sense of fear and loneliness and rejection. The dragon is waiting for those kind of kids to devour them. It was actually John Wesley. As Wesley was going through England and they were going through all of these revivals, he said, we have got to get people together. We've got to get them together to encourage one another. He said, otherwise, we are just birthing children for the murderer. We're creating little people that have no sense of their own identity. And what I want to try and do, if I could, is to rally us together and say, that should be our mission to all of the families and the children that come to us, to give them the tools and the resources that they need to fight against this dragon that's going to come. Because the alternative is that they will worship something. It was G.K. Chesterton in your notes that said, it isn't that if you decide you're not going to worship, you're going to worship nothing, that you'll end up worshiping anything. And how many of you know that they undergo things like hero worship? You know, if you had anything that had LeBron James on it or Michael Jordan, man, people just would pour out in lines to get that because they need something to believe in. Or what about their peer groups? All of a sudden, as they grow older, those peer groups will have more power and more influence over them than you ever could. Or that sense of belonging. Where do I belong? Where can I find my own identity? So we began to really think about what is it that we want to do. And we want to give them the tools that they need. We are going to offer parents the opportunity. We want to partner with the parents to help children grow. What's the first thing that I would love for the children as they grow to know? Number one, be prepared. I want them to be prepared. And I don't just mean I don't want them to just know how to handle a sword. I want them to be prepared with their own identity. I want them to have the sense of wisdom, the ability to make wise choices. For the last couple of weeks, we've been showing these videos from children's ministry about people that maybe cheated and people that kind of lost control of themselves. And we want to talk about that with our kids. We want to talk about how do we make the wise choices for all of the things that they're going to face. How do we make a biblical response to how to live right? And if you look in your notes, we say we want to invest in wisdom, not just that they can pass all of their tests, they know how to do math and calculus, but they know how to live a healthy life, the right choices. They know how to make things that are not just for now, what feels good now, but what's going to have an impact in the next couple of months or years. That is a true sign of maturity, the ability to think about the future. The impact of a choice today and how will it impact the future. And so if you go to the next slide, we're going to be talking about these kind of values. Acceptance. How do we accept one another? Attentiveness, contentedness, faith, courage, kindness, patience, obedience, joy. Can we teach our kids how to have true joy? Self-control, perseverance. And the thing is, it isn't just how do they have that in church, but how do they have that at home? How do they become respectful at home? And how do they learn to serve? And we want to talk with the ushers and the greeters. Get our kids involved in serving here at the church so that they feel like a vital part of our fellowship. Not just an appendage that we put onto it and say we ought to take care of them, but as a vital part that we are growing, that we allow them to become part of our future, our destiny. The first thing I want to give our kids is wisdom, the ability to make wise choice. The second thing I want to do is a sense of confidence that they are worthy of love and respect. that they are worthy of our fellowship, that no matter what people may say, maybe they didn't make the sports team, but they're loved here for who they really are. I want to give them a faith that says, I can trust God no matter what. I can trust God no matter what. That idea that belonging to a community of faith. And so we've been talking about creating a system where we have people in our congregation that scour the newspapers. They just enjoy that. And whenever they see your child, if your child wants to be a part of this program, and you have to sign up for it, they're going to scour the newspapers, and when they see your kid's name, you know, that made the dean's list or was in some sports thing or something, they see your kid's name, they're going to bring it up before the body. Say, I want to tell you what we're here to celebrate. We're here to celebrate this milestone. We're glad that you are progressing. We're so proud of you. So that they have a sense of faith that God is using them and a sense of confidence that they can do it all. I had an interesting experience this week that really drove this home about making wise choices and about having a confidence, a sense of self-identity. I had an opportunity, some of you know, I do soccer games. I referee soccer games. And I did a soccer game between, give me just a couple of minutes to divert here for a minute. Did a soccer game between PHS and Charleston Catholic with the varsity, the seniors. These are the highest student athletes. These are the young men that have risen up playing the best game possible. It was the filthiest game I've ever done. The language out of those young men was horrible. If it had been a regular varsity game, half of them would have been ejected from the game for the language that they were using out there. My point is, sometimes we want the best athlete and we never focus on the character of the person that's playing the ball. And so they had the great team. The team was playing at a high level, but their character was so horrendous, they would have lost the game because of their attitudes. And I often wonder about us. And I thought about that all week about our own life. Do we want to succeed so much that we'll sacrifice our character in order to do it? That we will rise up in the corporation or in our company or whatever it may be, but we'll lose our soul in the process. I want our kids to make wise choices. I want them to have the wisdom. I want them to have the confidence that they can do whatever God wants them to do. I love this passage from 1 John 4:4. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. To have that confidence, to take it on, to sometimes even to say no to the pressure, no to the dragon that says you don't matter, no to the group that's trying to push you into something that you were never created to be. And I wonder if any of you sitting out there will partner with me in doing that, or whether this Sunday will pass by. Will you sign up and will you help us do that? And finally, I want them to have a sense of healthy relationships, to know how to interact with one another, to treat others as they themselves would want to be treated. And so I want them to focus on friendships. How do we treat one another? How do we treat each other? How do they relate to one another in ways that are appropriate, respectful? How do they have deep friendships to build relationships, not just as kids and youth, but then as adults and as in marriage relationships? I want them to make wise choices. I want them to know that they can count on God no matter what. I want them to be able to make relationships bond together. But how are they going to know how to do that? Based on how you do it. How you do it. They're going to watch you and they're going to model exactly what you do. If you have part-time relationships, they'll have part-time relationships. If you have a part-time faith, they'll have a part-time faith. All I am offering to you as parents and as a church is the opportunity. We have a great team of teachers that want to embrace them, want to help raise them up before that dragon comes, because that dragon is coming. It's waiting. It's just waiting there for them to arrive. And you know that it's coming, and you know that the time is short before they are in high school and they're faced with all of these temptations. What we are inviting them is to be a part of the kingdom, a different way of living. But as somebody once said, it takes a community. And I would say it takes a church. And what I'm asking you is, are you part of the church? And so finally, in this last slide, it shows that they're going to be surrounded by things like, no matter what, they're going to be surrounded by negativity, despair, pessimism. I can't do this. I don't know how. We need to help them focus with confidence on who they are and who they can become. And so I challenge you, I challenge the parents, I invite them to be a part of this, to lay it out and say, will you come and partner with us in the future that lies before us? I encourage you to pray for them when you see children. We're glad that you're here. You're a part of who we are, because without them, we cease to be a church. Let us pray. Father God, you have given us a challenge to raise up the next generation, to share joyfully what we take sometimes for granted, our faith and our fellowship. We pray, oh God, that we as a church can surround them, protect them, give them the armor and the skills and the talents and the confidence to wage war with the dragon, to find out who they really are, and to love you fully and experience the joy of being loved fully as well. We ask that, Father, that we can weather the storms of uncertainty, but continue to be faithful to our calling. In Jesus' name, amen.